Welcome to the People of Relic Nikkei podcast, where you're going to hear the stories of the people that work at these two amazing advertising agencies. Relic focuses on tourism, and EKR works with a variety of businesses to help people get the right message to the right people at the right time. And we have amazing people in our organization, and I am going to interview them to hear the unique stories and backgrounds that they have to help you better get to know the people of Relic and EKR. Sadie Baum, thanks for joining me on the People of Relic and EKR podcast. How are you?
So good. Happy to be here.
So good. So good's pretty good.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. Good. AC went out last night and just super excited for the day.
It's a bad day for the AC to go out.
Yep. Yep. We've got 11 tweener girls coming over for my daughter's 12th birthday party tonight. So really hoping to get that AC fixed at some point.
That would be good, probably.
Yeah. Well, but this isn't about me, Sadie. This is about you. So let's first of all just tell everybody you're Sadie Baum and what do you do here?
I'm an account coordinator. Awesome. Right, for right now.
For right now.
Mm-hmm, right now.
You hear that? There's plans in there.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's back up a little bit, though, Sadie. Tell me a little bit about who you are, your upbringing, and maybe what led you here. And when I say your upbringing, like, we do want to hear a little bit about your childhood.
Well, I grew up in Lehigh. My parents are from Lehigh, too, born and raised. And I have an older sister. She's 33 with three babies and a husband. And then my younger sister is 6 months younger than me. And so I'm adopted, obviously. Can't have that many babies that close. But, yeah, I went to Sky Ridge High School, graduated there, then moved up to Utah State in Logan. My dad studied communications and worked with the Jazz for, like, 30 years. So I always wanted to do communications and do that sales marketing route. Just watching him and going to work with him all the time, I was like, that's awesome. Like, I want to do that too. So I studied communications, got done with school a little bit earlier than I had planned on accident.
Hold on. you can't just breeze over that. How do you accidentally finish school early?
Well, I'm a big organizer. I'm a big planner. Like, okay. I love lists. And I love getting things done, like super organizing things. And so I was like, okay, I'm starting school. I got to do my generals and my major. So I was like, well, if I pull up all my major classes and all my general ed requirements, I can just kill two birds with one stone. I can take this general class, but it's actually a major class and stuff like that. So I accidentally shaved off a year of school by just getting on top of it, I guess, and not changing my major 8 times. But it worked out for the better. And then I've had so many odd-end jobs through school, worked full-time through school, warehouses, movie theaters, like just crap jobs. And then my dad was like, oh, you should check out this agency that's hiring in Provo. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll apply. And then, yeah, got the internship, interned here for 3 months, loved it, lost a couple bosses, got a really good one, though. Pratt's awesome. And then, yeah, I'm happy to continue to be here.
Great.
Yeah.
So we covered a lot of years in that short period of time.
Yeah,
so I want to back up a little bit. You mentioned you're adopted.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people probably don't have a lot of context on what that's like. So I'm mm-hmm. curious, especially in your childhood, did you know early on or did they tell you later? Or tell me a little bit about how that works, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah. I always knew growing up. My middle name is actually my birth mom's name, which is Erin. So I always knew, like, had that connection. It wasn't like, okay, she's 12. Let's sit her down and break this potentially heart-wrenching news to this child. They just were super open about it. And I had pictures of my birth mom and, like, a bunch of letters and stuff that she had written and, like, communication with my parents. So it was always an open thing. Never really bothered me much or anything. It's just kind of like, it is what it is. I got a dope family. Like, I'm happy to be here too. And then when I was 17, turning 18, I took one of those ancestry tests.
Yeah.
Like, just for fun. It was when indexing was huge in the church and everybody was taking the test. And I was like, oh, I'm going to take the test. So I took it. And I didn't think, like, oh, this is how I could find my parents or, like, my birth parents, because I just known their first name. That mm-hmm. was all I knew. My parents didn't tell me much other than that. And then we were in Hawaii, and I was checking my email, as one does, and I saw, like, oh, check out your newest matches. And I was like, whatever. This is probably bull crap, but I'll check it out. So I opened the link, and it was like, you have two close family members close, like first cousins and second cousins, like a long list. And I was like, oh, dang, this is actually kind of cool. So I show my parents. I'm like, look at my two like 100% DNA matches. And I didn't recognize any of their names. And then I showed my parents and both of their eyes were like, oh, no, like it's happening. Like we're going to have to deal with this now. Not in a bad way, just like.
They knew it was coming at some point, right?
It was just like, it was our last day in Hawaii. We didn't have anything planned, but it was just like everything got thrown out the window, and I found her last name through that. It was my grandma that took the test, so it was my grandma's name on there. Found out my birth mom's last name finally, and so I immediately made a Facebook, didn't have one of those. Found her, and I was like, hey, like, it's been 18 years since we chatted. Like, what's up?
Please
like,
tell me you said it that way.
I really did. I was like, sup? I'm your child. Like, how's it going? And, yeah, obviously, it was crazy. She messaged me back, this big, long thing. The whole day was just filled of tears and, like, this is crazy. I mean, I don't know. You think of it your whole life, and you're obviously planning on it happening, but there's so many stories of it going bad and it just not turning out well. So it's always a scary thing. And it was amazing. And then I Skyped with her like a week later and flew out to Seattle like a month after that to meet her in person. And then we hang out all the time now.
No way.
Yeah.
So Seattle, was that where she was born, or is that where she had moved to? Or
she's actually from Davis County. So she grew up in Davis, and then she moved out to Seattle like 10 years ago with her husband.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a wild experience.
Yeah.
And so instead of at the beach in Hawaii, you are in the hotel room reading and chatting and all that.
Yep. Everybody was freaking out. It was crazy.
No way. Was that hard for your parents?
Surprisingly, no. I think my dad's like my best friend. I have a great relationship with him and my mom. And so it was more of just like, and my birth mom, she was so young when she placed me. She was 18. Mm. So it's kind of like when they met to do all that adoption stuff, they were just like, feeling like empathetic towards her, like you're so young, like I don't know, like let us help you type of thing. So they kind of always had like a mom and daughter bond too, I guess it felt like. But yeah, everybody was just so excited that she was doing good and that she had a baby of her own. And like, yeah, everybody was just excited to know that she was okay after that whole thing, because my mom said the day they gave me up was like super traumatic for my birth mom. Obviously you're giving up a baby. So she had always just, it was like peace of mind for everybody to know that I was okay, she was okay, like it was all meant to be.
Almost like it worked out for everybody involved.
Exactly.
Wow, and you said you hang out all the time now.
Yeah, I go up and visit her, she comes down, we Snapchat, we call all the time.
No way.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I actually think you've mentioned before in passing that you're adopted, but you never know the whole story. It's pretty amazing.
Pretty
so
cool.
Your siblings, are they adopted?
Nope.
So how do you even describe the dynamic between you and your siblings? I don't necessarily want to say something that isn't accurate.
Well, my older sister, she was regular baby, no issues there. And then she's 11 years older than me and my sister. So she's kind of like our second mom.
Yeah.
Almost. And then my younger sister, 6 months younger than me, we're best friends. We're a year apart in school, which helps, but she's... Yeah, we're besties. We're different, but we're besties.
So I'm curious, and again, if you're not comfortable answering it, please just tell me off limits. But I'm curious, with a sister that's 6 months younger than you, what made your parents decide to adopt at the time that they did?
Yeah, when my mom had my older sister, she got really sick for 10 years, and they were like, oh, crap, like, we want to have more babies. We don't want to just have one. So they're like, well, I'm not feeling good enough to have one. What are other options? So that's when they started looking into adoption. They waited about 2 years on a list. And then during that time, my mom was feeling better. So they started trying in vitro for another baby. And they found out they were getting me. And then 2 weeks later, my mom was pregnant with my little sister.
No way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. That's wild.
Yeah, super.
So I'm curious. You've had a unique childhood, obviously. Mm-hmm. I ask everybody that comes on the show here, did they have a formative childhood experience that played a big part in who they've become as an adult? I've got to imagine that what you just shared with us plays into who you've become as an adult, right? So I'm curious, if you were to describe a childhood experience that had a big impact on who you are today, how would you describe it?
That's a good question. I don't know if there's like one specific instance. I feel like I've always had these curiosities or like this spunk or fire, people like to call it, that I just never really knew where it came from. I feel like the rest of my family's decently calm and pretty mellow, and I'm definitely the opposite of that in a lot of ways. And so I feel like when I met my birth mom and found out who my birth dad was, it was like, oh, like that makes sense now. Like, that's where I get this from. Like, I don't know, the nature versus nurture thing is pretty cool to like analyze too, like being in this situation. But I don't know if there's one instance, it just kind of like all clicked when I met them both, and I was like, thank you. Like, now I know why I am the way I am and like why I have these quirks or these curiosities and things like that, I guess.
Yeah, so the impactful experience for you was finally having the mm-hmm. puzzle pieces and saying, okay, it does all fit together.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Really interesting. And how do you feel like seeing how the puzzle pieces have come together, how does that manifest itself today?
I don't know. I feel like I can definitely take my birth parents, like, different, like, weaknesses, I guess, that they may have given to me and, like, tweak them because of what my adopted parents have shown me and taught me. Yeah, I feel like I just have two really good perspectives. Like, okay, I'm going to take this, but instead of using it like that, I'm going to turn it around and make it, like, a useful part of me, you know? Like, use my spunk for being outgoing and, like, for in this job, like, talking with clients and getting a good relationship with the clients rather than, like, I don't know, using it for something else, I guess.
Yeah. So kind of finally understanding the pieces enough to understand how to use them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
And then one other thing that makes you pretty unique as far as the agency goes is I know you told me that your dad owns an advertising mm-hmm. agency. So you've had the opportunity to kind of have more exposure to an ad agency than probably most people that come in. So if you don't mind, share a little bit about how long your dad's had an agency and what you learned from watching him. And then what were your expectations coming in versus reality of working at a different place than your dad's?
Yeah, he co-owns Epic Marketing and Draper. And his buddy brought him on after he left the Jazz. So he's been there for about three or four years. I thought all ad agencies were kind of just like regular businesses, like marketing other businesses, I guess. And just seeing how that whole thing worked. And I always knew, like, he always told me account management would be a good spot for me to like at least start at, because I love being organized and on top of things and talking with people too. So he had always told me, like, you can get into account management, like, you totally should. That's a great spot for you. And then when I came here and figured out we do tourism marketing, I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, of course that's a thing, obviously. How do you get people to places? But that was probably the biggest, like, oh, you can market, like, cities and things. I thought that was way cool.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So you came in, you interned for a little while. Internships are always hard. I did an internship when I came out of school, and it was at a place called Thomas Arts up in Farmington. And at the end of my 90-day internship, I still didn't know if I was going to have a full-time job or not, right? And so at the end of that time, I actually just got an email as I was sitting there waiting for the offer, and it just said, we're extending your internship 30 days. No, hey, does that work for you or anything like that, you know? So it was, I know it's really hard to be an intern and kind of wonder, am I going to get that full-time offer? Mm-hmm. What was that like for you coming in, interning, and then getting the full-time offer and moving forward from mm-hmm. there?
I was just stoked to have a cool job. And, like, the flexibility, work from home, I was stoked to finally get into a field that I was curious about. A couple weeks in, I loved working with Wayne. Wayne was awesome. And then after he left, I was like, okay, this is my time to, like, show him that I'm worth it, like, as an intern. Like, I was really determined to prove myself. And it was honestly a great opportunity. It sucked when Wayne left, but Ripe was going out the wazoo, and I was like, dude, I'm going to kill it right now. Like,
For those listening, when you say Ripe was going out the wazoo, people are going to need a little, I know what you mean, but people are going to need a little context on that.
Our client Ripe.
Yeah.
Or Book Ripe or Root Res, whatever you want to call them. They were shifting, and they were being so high maintenance, respectfully, but like, they were just, there was a lot going on with their website and just.
Big deadline.
The trade show, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. The big trade show, they had like 50 million assets they needed in just a crazy timeline. So that's why they were going crazy. And yeah, I was just like, I'm just going to kill it. Like, I know exactly what to do. I've talked with this client like 80 times a day. Like, I'm just going to go in and make sure they get everything done. And Yeah, there was like a 2-week period where we were waiting for Pratt, and I was like, this is crazy, man. Like, I've been here for like a month, and I'm already like trying to keep Ripe going and everybody else. But it was super fun. And at that point, I was like, yeah, I want to stay here. Like, there's no way they can't keep me either. Like, that was pretty awesome type of thing. And then when Pratt came in, I was like, dude, he's awesome. Like, I'll help him get up to speed. And then we just flowed so well. And then, yeah, when I think it's like a week or two before my internship I was about to go to Europe for a couple weeks. And I was like, hey, I need to know, like, am I going to have a job when I come back? Or should I start looking now? Like, I just wanted to be prepared for that. And so I talked to Sasha and I was like, hey, what's the vibe? Like, I want to stay. I'd love to stay. I feel like, yeah, I could be a great asset here. So what are you guys thinking? She's like, yeah, you're staying. It's like, sick. Love it. That's what I wanted to hear. And then now, just to extend that, with Maggie leaving, it's cool that I get to step up and have like a little trial run with Weber County too, because that's just going to help, I guess, speed up the process of becoming a junior account manager. Like, you know, when you step in, you got to fill roles and things like that. So it's been cool.
Yeah. So we really were relying early on the feedback that we got from Wayne, right? Because most of your involvement was directly with Wayne.
Right.
Wayne had very positive feedback about it. So it's not like, oh, Wayne was saying you're bad or anything, because Wayne always was very complimentary. Mm-hmm. But when Wayne left, exactly what you said your mindset was is exactly what you demonstrated, right? It was, holy cow, Wayne's gone. We need Sadie to kind of fill the gap while we're waiting for a new account manager to come in. And we found Pratt, which we were excited about. But you really made that transition so much more seamless than I think it would have been with most of the interns that we've had in the past. And you really did make yourself irreplaceable, which is, I don't know, it's funny because you look at the different challenging situations that you run into, whether it's in life or career or whatever, right? And our immediate look at it is, oh, crap. But the opportunity to prove yourself in that situation really accelerated your growth here and accelerated all of our perception of you, because we're able to kind of get a front row seat of your work ethic and attention to detail, and clients were really pleased with how you manage them. So it's interesting to me to watch how challenging situations in most cases are a huge opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
totally.
Curious your thoughts there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's the same thing when Shaylee left. It was a bummer, too. I was like, oh, we just started working together and things. But luckily, Pratt was here again, so it wasn't as big as a shift. And then when we found out Maggie was leaving, a couple weeks later, I messaged Sasha. And I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I have the bandwidth to step up. And I want more responsibility. And I know there's probably going to be a gap in between who's going to manage what. So just, like, I'm here. Throw me into it. I'm totally here to take it on. And I talked with Pratt about it, too. We had discussions. But yeah, and then Sasha was like, and I think I talked to Ryan too, and everybody was just like, it's a great opportunity. Like, why not just slide in there, you know, and see if you can help and utilize what I'm already doing, you know, and all the time that I have and things like that. So yeah, I looked at it as a great opportunity. I think I'd been through it a couple times. So at this point it was like, okay, cool. It's just more room for me to grow in more areas of where I can excel and, you know, prove myself, I guess.
I love it. Mm-hmm. So tell me some of the accounts that you've had the most fun with since you've been here.
The most fun. Okay. Ripe was a different kind of fun. They were very busy.
Yeah.
But they were still fun. I feel like we learned a lot on Ripe just because there are so many things going on in such a crazy timeline that if you can handle Ripe at that time, like, you can do anything. You really can. I think my favorite client, though, was Dana Point. I get along with Heather so well. Like, I love Heather so much. And we have great, great chat all the time. And they're super nice. And they're pretty easygoing. We're doing, like, a little revamp for them right now anyway. But
have you had a chance to go out there yet?
No. Pratt and Camden went out. And I was like, dude, Heather asked me on the call. She's like, are you coming out? And I was like, no. They're like, I was thinking I was still an intern at that time. I was like, no, I'm not coming out. And she's like, why? I was like, I know. Tell them that.
We got to get you out there for sure.
But yeah, that would be fun. And then, I mean, Uinta, Alicia's just always entertaining in general. She's kind of aloof, which makes things fun, but she's a good client too. Weber County's fun. Ashton's really nice. We're going up there next week. She's a really nice person. I think they're all kind of fun in their own way.
Yeah.
They all have their strengths and challenges, but overall, yeah, I feel like we get along super well with all of our clients.
That's how I can tell you're going to be a good account manager, is you can look at all your clients and say each of them is fun in their own way. Mm-hmm. Account management is a very interesting, it's the way I came up. So I'm passionate about account management, right? Mm-hmm. But some of the most challenging conversations I've ever had in my life have come as an account manager, right? And both internally in the agency and with the client. You know, sometimes the client makes a demand and it's like, we got to make this happen, and I got to go have a hard conversation internally. And then at the same time, you know, you have stuff happen in the agency and you got to mm-hmm. go have a hard conversation with the client. But I feel like those situations in account management have made me grow so much as a person as a result. So mm-hmm. I don't know. You've got the right attitude for account management. There's no question about it.
That's good news.
Well, I guess, Sadie, we've talked a lot about kind of past and present. I'm curious, what are your future goals? I can tell you're ambitious. You've got mm-hmm. a lot of confidence and goals, so I'd love to hear what some of those are.
Yeah, I mean, as far as it goes with Relic, I'm definitely hoping here soon. I don't know how soon, obviously, timeline-wise, but to be a junior account manager to start off things and get settled in there, and then obviously I'd love to be my full-blown own account manager eventually. Be a bummer not to work with Pratt anymore, but yeah, I think as far as that goes, I just want to, I feel like this is the killer place to just learn so much about so many different areas. Like I was telling Sarah, who's just started today, but like I didn't come into this job knowing a ton. Like mm-hmm. I may have put it off, like I did know more than I actually did, but coming in here, like, yeah, it's so cool because you get to see every part of it all work together, yeah. You know? Like, instead of just doing one thing, I get to work with PR and creative and digital, and I get to learn so many things. So I feel like I'm just loving soaking up all this information that I can take and utilize here for as long as I can. And then I feel like in other opportunities, it's just going to, I don't know, I feel like my knowledge is just going to be so much greater than just honing in on one specific area, you know? I feel like I'm just going to be able to, like, excel and I don't know, just switch things up because I've learned so much in just one place, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I love a small agency versus a huge agency, because everybody gets so siloed in a huge mm-hmm. agency. When I went from Thomas Arts to what now is Relic, I mean, I had to do everything. I was buying media, I was managing clients, I was copywriting as an account manager, you know? So it was, I don't know. I totally get what you're saying, that like in a short period of time, you've learned so much because mm-hmm. you kind of have to, right?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Especially when bosses leave and you're like, okay, I'm on my own. Let's do this thing.
For sure. Well, let's talk, like, people are going to be working with you, and there's probably some unique things about you that people need to know. Other people may have shared that, like, hey, if I'm quiet, it doesn't mean I don't like you, right? Like that type of stuff is mm-hmm. what people have shared. So I'm curious, if you were going to tell people that are going to be interfacing with you on a daily basis something they need to know about you, what would you say?
Mm, that's a good question. I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty straightforward and pretty sometimes too brutally honest. I just kind of say what comes straight to my brain. Yeah, I feel like probably the same thing, like, oh, if I send a snarky or like my Slack message comes across wrong, like, I don't, in my daily life I don't use periods or anything like that, so then here when I have to type a professional email, I'm like, I'm not mad, like, I'm just actually using proper punctuation, you know, like things like that. But I don't know, I feel like too, if I'm having a bad day or something, it's pretty easy just be like, okay, set that aside, like, let's just be happy on this call or like with this person and come back to that later, I guess. I don't know.
Nice. Yeah, I like it. Well, Sadie, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate that you're here and have enjoyed having you know, go through your process in a pretty short period of time, mm-hmm. right? From intern to account coordinator and hopefully soon junior account manager mm-hmm. with this Weber County test that you're working on. I'm really excited to see how it goes. But it's really nice to have you here, and I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
This is one of the many stories of the people of Relic and EKR. I hope you'll stick with us and listen to the other stories that we release on a weekly basis and get to know our whole team. We've got some amazing people here, and we hope you enjoy it.